okay? Father, we really are a blessed folks here at Neely's Bend. It's rewarding to come into the room and to see so many smiling faces and the chatter and the visiting and all. And Father, some of our folks have been away on trips and traveling, and they're back with us safe and sound, and for that we're very thankful. But Father, we're thankful for the power of your word, and I pray you will bless us this morning as we look and read from your word. But Father, I think about the one word, influence. And I think about the power of influence and what that means. And Father, the influence that is within this room today, and the influence of this congregation for good, and what we could do here in the Bend in reaching out to others and helping and serving and winning people, and seeing this room filled with folks with smiling faces. A lot of folks are missing out on something good on Sundays here because they don't come. And I thank you, Father, for the spirit that prevails, and I pray you'll help us to maintain that good spirit. Father, know that we love you. Thank you for your grace, mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you want to turn, I have one verse there in the book of Romans, chapter 14, verse 7. It's a very plain, very simple to understand, 14:7, when he says, "For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself." Now you think about that. We don't live just to ourselves. We don't just die to ourselves. Galatians 2:20 would expand on that a little bit more. But in thinking about this lesson and going over this lesson, I thought about the power of influence quite naturally, but I looked at it more in a personal way of the influence that people have had in my life. And quite naturally, I think about my father and my grandfather, those two men and their influence in my life. I don't mean to repeat myself, but I just share stories to try to get a point for us to see. My mother was not a Christian until I was probably a sophomore in high school. But my father, for as long as I could remember, I guess from the fifth grade at least on, had went to Brother C.J. Garner's men's training class, and Brother Garner would send him out places to preach, and I'd go with him. And people would ask, do you have a mother? Where's your mother? And things like that. And you have to hum-haw around and work through that. And I'd ask Dad about it in the car, and he said, "Norman, everything will be okay." That was his philosophy. Everything will be all right. The good Lord will take care of everything. We just need to pray about it. And that was his attitude. And you know what? My sophomore year, I knew that night when Mother got in the car and sat up front with Dad and I right in the middle, going up to Rock Bridge. There's gospel meeting up there. He'd been preaching up there for several years. That this was the night my mother was going to become a Christian. And she did. And I forever cherish and remember that. But I look back and think about his influence and Ralph Bradley, because she said, "There were two men in my life that really influenced me, Norman, to becoming a Christian. Number one, quite naturally, was your father and the life that he lived and things that he did and his demeanor and where he stayed right here. And Ralph Bradley was faithful to come to the house at least once every week, and he'd come by, and it wouldn't be to hammer me about, why aren't you coming to church with Glendale Norman? He would just come by and say, Viola, are you doing okay? And she'd say, yes, quite naturally, I'm doing fine, everything's going well. And then that would be it. He'd go on, he lived up on snow, and he would come back down probably a day or two and say something to Mother again. And that's what he did. And she would tell anyone, once she became a Christian, the reason I'm a Christian is because of Glendale Slate, the life that he lived, and the person that he was. And he was very consistent right in here with his life. He was never up on the mountaintop, and I never knew my dad to be in the valley. But I knew the same thing about Ralph Bradley. I mean, he was right here. He was in here, taught those fifth grade boys, and who knows the life that Ralph Bradley has touched. I mean, he touched many people. He would even, on occasion, get someone to teach his class, and he had something about Tracy City up in above Swanee there, and he would go up there and preach on Sundays. And then one day he said, "Norm, why don't you start trying to do something like this, like your daddy did?" And so I said, "Man, I can't go up Tracy City." And we talked about that. And he said, "Yeah, you can go." But nevertheless, the influence that people have in our lives. I tell the story over and over about my grandfather up in Jackson County, lived there on Cub Creek, and his influence in my life, and how with the church Cub Creek burning to the ground, and me seeing that smoke off the cornfield there and saying something to him about it, he rushed down there. I mean, it was dead summer, and that building was just about gone. The only thing left were those great big sleeper logs, you know, they'd drag in, and that'd be the foundation that they had built that church on, but it burnt to the ground. And I can remember saying, "Grandpa, the church burned up." He just kind of patted me on the shoulder, said, "No, Norman." And he began to name people that went to the congregation there. He said, "That's the church, son. That's just the building." Said, "The church will move right up the street here, and we'll be up the road, really, an old dirt road." Said, "We'll go to the schoolhouse there, and that's where the church will gather till we get the building built back." Lessons, memory, influence of others in our lives, and things that we'll never forget. And you see, each life affects another. And I want to read this to you that I found in a church paper, and I thought it was pretty good for this occasion. We may not always realize everything we do affects not only our lives, but touches others too. For a little bit of thoughtfulness that shows someone you care creates a ray of sunshine for both of you to share. Yes, every time you offer someone a helping hand, and every time you show a friend you care, and every time you have a kind and gentle word to give, you help someone find the beauty in this precious life we live. For happiness brings happiness, and love always brings love. And giving is the treasure that contentment is made of. And I thought that was pretty appropriate in regard to everybody in this room, all of us, and the influence that we have. I've had people say, "You know, I don't have any influence." We all do. When you come into this world, one of the biggest influences was when you got here and the attention that you got, huh? You ever think about a baby and the attention? I mean, they just squall one time and boom, boy, you're right there. And we look after them and we care for them and we nurture and we bring them along. So no one dies to himself alone. No one lives to himself alone. You think about the roots and the influence of our lives and the people who influenced us. And quite naturally, in my life, I think about Miss Uffelman. She was Miss Beatty then, and she carried a big stick, I'll tell you. And she wasn't afraid to use it. And I just think about the lives that she influenced and the way things were back then versus the way things are now. And I think about one time being in the hall and wearing these old cheap shoes and everything, and I left a black mark, and I've probably told this before. And she said, "Norman, you see that black mark right there?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "You left that black mark there." And I said, "Okay, I want you to clean it up." And you know, kids pop off. And I said, "Well, I thought Mr. Briggs, he was a custodian, I thought he'd take care of that and get that cleaned up." Oh, I could tell on her face. And I got right in the bathroom, got me some paper towels, and man, I got that sucker up. And she said, "That's better, you know." Influence. She carried a stick with her everywhere she went. It was about this thick, and it was about this long, and it was the intimidator, and she wasn't afraid to use it. And I think about the lives that she's influenced in her life, and it was amazing. I remember old Oswald Kirby one time pulling up in the parking lot. He had been up, and he killed a big bear up in the Smokies, and he had it draped out on the hood of the car like this. And, of course, all of us kids were pouring out. The word spread in a hurry, and we went out to see that big bear. We'd never seen anything like that. And boy, here comes Ms. Bean. Boy, she had that big paddle, and she was saying, Oswald Kirby, if you don't get out of here with that bear, I'm fixing to use this on you. And you know, he got in that car. And her influence. Now, you think about that influence. You say, well, it was that big stick. Well, she would use that big stick, too. But she didn't have to have that. And you know, there are people like that, and then there are the very meek and the very mild. My father was a man that I never heard him raise his voice, never scream at anybody. He just stayed right about here all the time. But when he said something, he meant what he said, and that's the way it was. Don't do this. If you do this, this is the consequences. And I understood that. And there are people like that. Each of us are our own selves. But each of us have an influence, and we have that uniqueness about ourselves. I want us to look, of course, I've shared this verse, but I want to remind you again what he says in Romans chapter 14, verse 7. None of us lives to himself alone, and none of us die to ourselves alone. We may talk about people that, you know, they're very quiet, they're over here, but listen. Many of them, we just need to go and see and visit, and they'll open and they'll talk. They're waiting for us to initiate sometimes. And sometimes we need to just use some influence and saying, hey, and say thank you and show appreciation and work with people. And, you know, it's amazing how we can bring people out and everything and to really build friendships and come to know people. Well, there are three words here, and then I want to share a little bit about the good Lord and His influence. It is to impress. We each have influence that we can use to impress upon. Not who I am and what I'm about, but just the friendly nature. And I think that's a key component of the two congregations I've been blessed to be with and to serve with. Madison had that love feast, and to shake hands and turn around and see folks and greet them. That was an opening right there, and I thought that really enhanced the church at Madison. And we'd have what it was, the love feast and meeting and greeting and saying hi and people taking doors like we do here, and the congregation learned who the congregation is, large or small, and the value of those. But we have that imprint. We instill, to have things instilled in our life and from the good that we do, the habits that we have, the good habits that we have bubble up and show in our lives and the friendliness. And you know, it's distressing. So, you know, I went one time to such and such a church and we went in and we came out and not one soul ever said a word to us. You know, that crushes me. And that happens, folks. And you see, the Lord said what? Influence. What was the influence of that congregation and the community? And there are congregations, that, let's face it, and I'm just saying as a denomination, but I'm saying as the church, that lack that friendliness and how are you doing and good to see you and learning people and visiting with people. And that's why I appreciate the break. We have a pretty good break, and some of it's on purpose. You say, break what? Break between the Sunday school and the worship time and folks to move around the building. We all have our places that we sit, don't we? Yeah, I can look out and take numbers here and see, but you know about where all of us sit, and we visit and know, and somebody's not here, we notice that. Doug's not here, right over here. Doug's over rehab right now. Mamie's not here. She's right back there. You know, we look around, we see those that are not here today. We know we have someone missing right here, don't we? And we have opportunity to encourage one another, to influence one another, to be there for one another, to inspire. And that is to live, to encourage and to help people get through tough times. And sometimes they don't know what to do. All you have to do is just be there, shake their hand, hug them, and let them know, I care. And that's what it's saying. You don't have to just always try to come with something really super good to say or do. We just need to let them know that we care. Well, why did Jesus Christ with his influence? Well, let me share something about what a historian, and this historian that wrote was an atheist. And he had these words. He said, in regard to the Lord, he said, he wrote about these noted people. He said he gave more space to Jesus Christ than five others combined. And he spoke of Mohammed and Buddha and Caesar and Napoleon and even George Washington. And then he went on to say, when you consider the books written, the songs that we sing, the church houses that have been built, the educational process, the benevolence, the compassion, Jesus Christ without question is the most significant person in all of history. Now you think about that. Who else but Jesus that we came to worship and serve, not just today but every day of our life? And then he went on to say, he never sought nor took advice. He never changed his mind. He never acted in haste. He never had a personal fear. Never did an unselfish miracle. He never distrusted God, his Father. He never denied a good request. Never had to confess a sin. And prayed often, yet he never asked in regard to himself. When you think about the Jesus that we hold up, that we read about in this blessed book here, and that we see through the Gospels, a life that was lived and the things he did. Well, there's two kinds of influences, as we know. There is an influence of good, and we see those people who have good influence and powerful. And then on the other side, we have a bad influence. And there can be those who shed a bad light upon the church with their influence because of their behavior, and they're not consistent to live that right life. And yet we have those over here that live a good life, and they're consistent in that life. You know, that's something that I pray about, and I wish that I could be a consistent person in life. You know, not always up here or not always down here. I'd just like to be right in here all the time if I could. And we'll hear people, we'll talk or share stories, something like that. You know, I don't know what to say today because I don't know if they're up here or down here. You know, I don't know if they're happy or glad or mad or what. And yet we ought to, as God's children, maintain a level of consistency there in regard to our behavior. You think about the bad numbers, the 10 spies, and you study about those in Numbers 13, and you see the attitude there. If you look and see about the life in 1 Kings chapter 11, when he talked about the years of influence of Solomon and what he did to the name and all the wives and all the everythings that he did. And yet, it's what God can take and make. And yet, you read the book of Proverbs and you see a man that put down much wisdom right there. And of course, he would have that wisdom. I mean, you look at the life that he lived, and yet you look at the roots that he had. And yet the blend of that, but bad numbers he has. You think about John the Baptist being beheaded because of a man's daughter, Herod's daughter, wanted him beheaded. And the bad influence there. You know, sometimes people can influence us. Rather than doing something good, they can influence us to do something bad sometimes. And they're well-meaning in that. And so we want our influence to be good. You look at the good influence. You can look in 1 Peter and you read about husbands and wives and the influence that husbands and wives can have and the examples that they can set and the things they can do. You think about Paul and Silas and their influence for good and the things that they did. Well, I'll never forget years ago listening to a sermon similar to this. And I'll never forget the illustration that this preacher used. He said, here was this family that had the cutest little poodle dog you've ever seen. And they kept that dog in the house and well manicured and well looked after. And one day, like many do, let the little dog out in the yard and everything. And she went back to get the dog, and the dog wasn't to be found or anything. And so she kept checking and looking and wondering. And then she saw an old stray dog, and right behind that was that little poodle dog. And she watched them, and they came back into the yard, and she spoke to the dog, and it came in the house. But she got to looking at it. And you think that little poodle dog looked as good and as groomed and as sweet and as nice? No. It had oil on its back where it crawled under cars like the old alley dog had crawled underneath there. It had a cucklebur or two in its, you know, coat and everything where it'd been. You say, I get the point. Bad company corrupts, doesn't it? You ever had your mother? I've had my mother. I know who you've been with today, Norman. Huh? Yeah. Mothers can tell that. Why? But what you might say, what you might do. What? Mamas are pretty, they're pretty perceptive. They have that little extra. But you know, dads are awful good at that too. So influence in our life. And you look at the teachers you've had in school and the vast change that those of us in this room have seen in regard to the change within the world. We see, we've got to maintain that influence for good and be very consistent there. Because that's very important in life, the consistency of life. And I think of, once again, the influence of my dad and how his attitude was here. And I know he had good days and bad days. I know that the brethren sometimes get after him. And I've told this story countless times of going with him to Bible studies, and some of them were just super good, but I can remember one where he had set up, and he and I went back to do that, and that lady was watering her bushes. She never looked up or anything. She said, I'm not going to study with you. I've talked to my preacher. And Dad said something else about, well, I would really like just an opportunity to just visit with you and get you to know it. And she spun around, and she said, I'll spray you with this hose pipe if you don't get out of here. You know what my reaction was? Yeah. I'll crimp that thing up just like this. Yeah, that's right. The bad man in me, huh? Isn't that there and all? See, that's the carnal man that'll jump out there. And I was serious about it. You know, it was all, and you know, he just kind of looked at me, and I knew, he knew what I was probably thinking. You know, just your dad look at you. Good and bad. You know, parents, and they're, I can remember his first place to preach. I got to tell one more story on it. When we went to Union Hill, now my mother wasn't a Christian, as I've said earlier, until I was sophomore in high school. But it was his influence and Ralph Bradley that brought her to the Lord. But I would go to church up there, and everybody, all the time, where's your mama? What about your mama? Your mama. And I said, well, she's not coming. Well, my daddy counted off five pews back, and he said, if you'll sit from that fifth pew this way, never be another problem. Never be another problem. I said, well, I hadn't had any problems to myself. Well, Harold and Leon and Roscoe and Morris all sit on the back, and so I decided I'd sit back there one Sunday. Well, two of them got to talking. I told this, Leon died some years ago, and I told this at his funeral. I said, I want y'all to understand it wasn't me. It was Mars and Leon that did this. And I meant it. I wanted to get my name clear to that. But anyway, and my dad's preaching, and he stops. Now, you imagine a church about half the size, the building of this. And he stopped, and he stepped out and said, if y'all excuse me, Norman never called another name. Of course, everybody in the church turned around and looked. Now, if you'll straighten up, oh, me. What have I done? I mean, your dad's looking right at you. We get in the car, and I open my mouth, and he said, Norman, what did I say? Case closed. I told you where you ought to sit. He didn't say that to me. It was already up here where you should sit, what you ought to do, and you would know. But how many of us know what we ought to, but, you know, we press it out a little bit, don't we? And it gets us in trouble. And you see, we want to have a good influence. He wanted to have a good influence. He wasn't trying to make me look good so he would look good. He was doing that so I could learn how to behave and how to act and that I could grow up with an influence, maybe. And all of us have it, good or bad. Some of us talk about, well, what kind of mood are they in today? How are they doing this? How are we doing that? But it is important that as we read the Word of God and we implement it into our life and we think about the power of influence. And it is powerful. It's very powerful. And I could tell story after story about the influence. Everyone has some influence on other people. We have that ability. There are politicians who have people out there, great influence. There are preachers that have great influence on folks. And there are those of us in this room, that being all of us, have influence. Whether it be on grandchildren, whether it be on the neighbor next door, how we're known and how we serve and what we do in our community. And we all can tell various stories and everything. Lady next door, husband died some years ago. I wanted to be a good Samaritan and a good neighbor and help out. So he died just about this same time and the grass was starting to grow. So when I cut mine, I cut her yard. I go back, cut her backyard. She didn't have that big a yard next door and everything. But anyway, I'm not saying it for credit, but I cut it. Never heard a word out of her. I went back, cut it again the next time. Never heard a word out of her. I did it about three times. Well, before I could do the fourth time, a big truck pulls up, mowers get off, and they go all over, cut the whole yard and trim everything up. I never went over, you know, to try to get a good buddy button or anything like that or so on. But I was thankful that I had served and I felt good that I had tried to do my part. And even today, I'll try to cut over. You know, there's no bushes or anything right there to cut on her side and back like that. But you know, sometimes things can backfire on us. But to this day, she stays to herself. But you see, you can't live to yourself alone. You can't be to yourself alone. Occasionally, I'll see some people come in and stay a day or two with her, and I feel like it's family that lives away from here. But we can reach out and try to be, the point is, the right kind of an influence, a way to help and encourage each other and to help each other. And when you see something needs to be done, do it. If you see things at church that need to be picked up, pick it up. Don't go find somebody else to do it. Why don't we just do it, see? We're one another. We work together, serve together. And that's the whole thing. You think about society. You think about countless people. And it's interesting. It seems like in the news, particularly on TV, every now and then they'll highlight a family that's by themselves and nobody's there. And sometimes we within the church will have somebody that has not been real vocal or out visiting and doing and everything. They're just a quiet and they serve and they do for the Lord and they influence a lot of people. And you know, we call it in the church, they fell through the crack. What happened to them? Where have they been? And it takes us a while to know. And particularly when we're this small and we get to know each other, and then when new people come and we get to know them, then it's a larger circle to embrace, but to know each other. And we need to move around, kind of get out of our comfort zone and say, you know, I've been seeing you. And sometimes we run into folks at the mall or out at a little league game or something like that, and we really begin to connect. Say, I didn't know your grandchildren were down here playing with my grandchildren. That's happened before. And we connect like that, one another. That's what we're about. We're about being and serving and helping in our influence to one another. Is it a good influence? Is it a bad influence? Is it positive? Is it negative? And we never know from the smallest. And I look down and I'm reminded of a little girl that years ago, knocking doors at Greenbrier, that I went to this door and the mother said, "I'd like for Linda to start riding that bus. I see it come through here." And I said, "Well, that's why I was here. I'd like for the whole family, you and your daughter and your son." He said, "Well, I'm not, you know." But she did. And she'd ride that bus. And she was really a mischievous little girl. And we ran three times a week at Greenbrier. Well, one night, counting my number, she wasn't there. So I go back in the building, and she was up under a pew. And so I start turning off lights, and she starts screaming. So I turn lights on, and she shuts up. And she's crawled over here and crawled over there. You know, I got so flustered and everything. But years passed. We got through that, got her on the bus. But I was living out west, came back home, and went over to Lipscomb to visit some folks. And I'm going through the lunch line, and somebody said, "Brother Norman." And they run all the way around, come around, hug my neck. You know who it was? It was Linda. I said, "Girl, why don't you just crawl under the counter?" She laughed at me. But you know, you think about the memories and the influence. And I was tickled to death. You know, she even remembered me. Because it's so easy with time that we lose focus. And that's what life is our influence on other folks. And our influence on people here. On each other. And so when we read, you know, there's been a lot of material back some years ago. There was kind of a sweeping movement in the brotherhood about one another passages. Serve one another, love one another, encourage one another. And there would be books written on each one of those. But that's a natural thing, to be one of another and to serve. And people recognize that in the community. That church really cares about each other, you know. You look and see how they've served and what they've done and how they help each other and what they do for each other. It's vital. Sometimes we don't think or realize people are watching to see what we do at Neely's Bend. And we want to leave a strong and a good impression about taking care of one another. But you think about the life of our Lord. And I go back to that was written in a book, and I just took it off the pages of what Jesus Christ did. And yet his influence and how he has touched the world all these years, and his influence is there. And the book's still written about Jesus and his life and the things he did and the servant he was. And different people see him through different eyes. And it's always interesting to read different people and their commentary or their thoughts in regard to Jesus. You say, "Well, you know, there's validity in that right there." So we don't need to lose sight of being a church that cares and a church that has not only the influence in here, but outside as we move about the community in which we live. Have a good influence on one another. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for the day, for the blessings of life. We're thankful for the simplicity of your word. Sometimes in reading it and studying it, we try to make it hard, but it's just so plain and so easily spoken and shared and written within your word. And Father, we know how we ought to behave and what we ought to do. So give us each courage, faith, and conviction to live right, to do right, and to be a good example before others. We're one of another, serving one another. In Jesus' name, and amen.